That's it. It helps if I press record. So when you're just saying in, you know who you are.
Right.
Say it's an interview with Nora Miles and Vanessa. I don't know your second name.
Chester.
Yeah. So we're talking about that'll pick everything up actually.
Right. Okay.
As we're talking. So I think it's already started.
Right, so my name's Vanessa Chester. I'm 38 years old. And this is an interview with Nora Miles.
About French, well, about growing up in, your mum grew up in New Frenchwood because of your grandparents, was it?
Yeah, and I've grown up in Frenchwood all my life.
Right, so
I moved to Wantleydale 10 years ago when we bought the house and got married.
Right.
But up until I was 28, I lived in Frenchwood.
Yeah. Whereabouts in Frenchwood did you live?
In Malvern Avenue all my life.
Oh, right.
Where my mum and dad live, in the same house all my life. And I went to the school round the corner. I went to primary school, infants and junior school at St Augustine's, which is in Avenham, just sort of on the outskirts of Frenchwood. And then went to high school just round the corner in Lawrence Avenue, which was St John Fisher when I went, but it's now Christ the King High School.
Right. That was a new school, was it?
It wasn't new. It was built in the 1960s.
Right.
But it's one of the newer schools, I would say, in Preston. Mm. Yeah. So, you know, it was, I enjoyed growing up in Frenchwood. It was great because we were right near the river, we were near the parks, we were near town. It's so near to everything, really, that it was great.
And did you go to St Augustine's Church?
I did, yeah.
So you were a member of the church as well?
Yeah. Well, my mum and dad got married there. Mm. And then I was confirmed there. I took my Holy Communion there. And because I was at St Augustine's school, we belonged to St Augustine's parish. And I did go to the church. We did go to church regularly as children. And up into when we were a bit older. And then unfortunately the church, the roof didn't collapse as such, but you weren't able to go inside the church, because the roof was unsafe. And they tried loads of fundraising events that we were all involved in and just never managed to get enough money to save the roof, really.
Right.
And just before we actually got married, the priest from St Augustine's came to Brown Edge, which is just round the corner here where we got married, but we got the priest from St Augustine's to come and marry us.
Mm-hmm.
And we had our sort of lessons and things inside the church, inside the presbytery, and he let us go into the church with hard hats on to have a look before they did anything with it, because they've made it into it's called St Augustine's...
Avenham.
Isn't
it? Avenham Community.
That's it.
It's a sports centre.
St Augustine's new, I don't know, Sanek or something it's called. I'm not sure what it's... But yeah, it's a sports hall and everything now. It's lovely. It's a lovely building, but it's not the same as it was in a church.
But it's nice to see they've retained the frontage.
Yeah, the church bells and things. It does, it's a lovely building. Mm. And as I say, it was nice for us too, me and my husband, to go in and have a look with our hard hats on. Because when we asked him if he'd come and marry us, we went to sort of get prepared for the wedding at the presbytery. And I said to him one week, is there any chance of us having a look in the church? Because I would have liked to have got married at St Augustine's, but obviously I wasn't able to. And he said, next week when you come, I'll get some hard hats and we'll go.
Lovely.
And he did, he let us go in. So it was quite sad really, because all the roof, it was just derelict. And everything was still, it was almost like going back in time, everything was still in its place, but all cobwebs and all the roof and everything all had fallen through, and there were pigeons lofting in there. And Yeah.
You'd be one of the last people, though, to see it.
Yeah, I know. It was quite sad, really.
And where was the junior school that you went to?
The junior school, the infant and junior school next door to each other. Yeah. And they're actually just right across from the church on St. Austin's Place.
Right.
The school is a Catholic primary school. And it was always a really... We enjoyed going there. Me and my sister enjoyed going there so much. It was a really friendly, nice little school. And still is. It's got a really good reputation still, St. Augustine's.
And Mrs. Malloy.
Yeah. The teachers were lovely. Mrs. Malloy, Mrs. Swarbrick, Mrs. Milliken. I can remember all the teachers, and they were there for years. They were there all the years that I was
there.
Were
there any nuns teaching when you
Yes. were there? Mrs. Westwell was the head teacher. She was a nun. Sorry, I've got a cold. Nun. She was a nun. Sister Christine was a nun. Oh, no, sorry, Mrs. Westwell wasn't a nun. Sister Christine was a nun. And she was quite strict, actually. Sister Christine was far more strict than Mrs. Westwell. I don't know why, but the she was a lot stricter.
I think they had a reputation though for being strict, didn't they?
It was really good because it was full of local families. I mean, these days when I work in education, and so you get families from all over Preston going to, you know, school. People don't tend to go to the local schools these days. They tend to go to one that might be better, you know, 3 miles down the road.
Well, they have choices now, don't they?
Yeah, you know, and it was all the local families. So you knew all the families, you knew all the teachers, you knew all the children, you knew all the parents, you know.
And what sort of... would you say subjects did you do? Were they just the normal subjects for mixed boys and girls?
Yeah. The classes we had were all mixed boys and girls, and it was about, you know, reading, arithmetic, English, a bit of cooking, sports.
Did boys get to do the cooking?
Yeah. Good. Yeah, we did. Art, it was that was at primary school then, it was all the basic subjects, you know, and everybody had school dinners. That was the other thing, you know, not a lot of people took packed lunches, and I always remember everything. The school dinners were so nice back in those days, and you always got a full dinner and a pudding. So you got sponge and custard or cornflake cake, which was my favourite. And then as we got into sort of junior school and into like the top class of junior school, people started bringing sandwiches, and so I used to take the lunches then, like a packed lunch. But generally, most of the time, and I remember when we were in infant school, we always had a Christmas dinner.
A proper Christmas dinner,
you know, even at that small age. We always had a Christmas dinner at Christmas and a Christmas party. Yeah, so, and they don't do that either these days. And even the teachers these days, you get supply teachers, you might get one teacher one week and another one another week. We had consistency. There was teachers there all the time. It was more like a big family than a... It was a pleasure, really, going to that school. It was really, really enjoyable. And,
So that would be quite a big step for you to move on to senior school then.
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't too bad because quite a lot of my friends were going. But I remember going to school the first day and being terrified about walking around the corner with my friend and going into like high school, because I suppose that again was so much bigger. Because it was, St. Augustine was only a small school, so there was only, I don't know how to say, probably 100 children, whereas you were going into a high school that had 500 or 600 children, you know, and
You were the small fish in the pond, weren't
you? Yeah. You know, you were meeting children from other schools that St. Joseph's and St. Teresa's were the other schools that the children came from. But, yeah, I mean, that was... I had a good experience at school. I had a really, really happy time at school. I never had any problem or... my sister might tell you different. She didn't have such a good time, but... I had a really, really good, what I call a good year. There was no bad people, really, in our year. No. They were all quite friendly. There was no troublemakers and, you know...
So you were one of the lucky ones.
I was one of the lucky ones, actually, yeah, because my experiences at school were different than Natalie's. I had a lot of... a big circle of friends. But again, it was because a lot of the people that had gone to St. Augustine's had moved... down to St. John Fisher's, and because you knew the families, a lot of their elder brothers or sisters were already at high school, so you knew them as well. So it wasn't completely daunting,
no.
Because you did know some people that were in your year and in the years above. And again, it was about local people, so people that lived around where I lived were always at that school, you know. Mm. People didn't tend to travel very far to school in those days.
Were you assessed as to which school you would go to, or did you just have a straightforward choice?
We had a choice, but we weren't assessed as such, no. It wasn't like an admissions... there was an admissions policy, but I think it was far more straightforward than it is these days. You know, if you had siblings there or you live locally, you tended to get in.
Yeah.
There were Asian people at the school. In St. Augustine's, where we were at infant and junior school, there was maybe a couple of Asian families.
Mm.
That was all, really. But then we went to high school, St. Joseph's and St. Teresa's on New Orleans Lane. There was a bigger Asian community up there. And so there were... more Asian people in high school, but not as many as there is today.
No.
The community's grown a lot, the Asian community's grown a lot in Preston, mm-hmm. So there are a lot more Asian people, you know, at that school today. I know that mm-hmm. there are, but I mean, there was, we had as well a couple of traveller families, that they came to our... They came to St. Augustine's and stayed for quite a while. I remember them coming and being...
So were they living in the area?
Yeah. They were living in the area, but they stayed for quite a while, probably about 12 months.
Yeah.
And they had siblings in all the different years, so there were that many children that they had one in every year or two in every year, so there were a lot of them.
Were they living in a house or in...
No, they were living in the caravans. Yeah.
Well, whereabouts in Frenchwood would that be?
They were on London Road.
Oh, right.
You know where the Olympia track is?
Well, I'm not sure.
Just down London Road, or as you're going up London Road towards town, on the right-hand side there's a garage near where my mum lives.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
There's a garage, and there used to be a running track. It is still a running track, but they've made like a skate park there as well. Mm. Well, the travellers used to all be on that. Running track, yeah, at the side of the running track on some waste ground, and they were there for years. So I think they thought, oh, we're going to be here for quite a long time, we might as well send the kids to school. So
that were good, wasn't
yeah, quite a lot of them came to school.
Did you know any personally?
Yes, they were in the same class as me, a couple of them,
And did they settle, do you think?
They did, but they were only around, they were with us for quite a while. In terms of it, sort of longer than they would be somewhere else, I would have thought. Mm. And they settled while they were with us, but then they left after about 12 months, 18 months, I would have thought. So, and we had quite a lot of West Indian families. Again, they were local families that you knew all the brothers and sisters. They were big families, a couple of big West Indian families. You know, and there were. Mm. 7 or 8 children in each family, and they all went to our school, and so you grew up.
And whereabouts did they?
They lived at the top of Frenchwood.
So they were still in the Frenchwood area?
Oh yeah, yeah, these were all local families that lived around St Augustine's and St John Fisher's, yeah. Yeah, so it was quite a mixed sort of community, really. Even in the 1970s, you know, it was still a mixed community. I mean, it is even more so today, but in the 70s, late 70s, where I was at infants and junior school, and early 80s, you know, I don't know how common it was, but we, you know, I've always...
There was an influx, I think that was in the 1950s, when there was a shortage of labour, when, you know, there were immigrants who came
so,
in. But I hadn't realised that there was quite such a diverse community
at
that time.
Yeah, they were. And as I say, you know, some of them became really good friends and went on to high school with them. And but then it's funny, when you leave high school, you could live in Preston, you know, all your life. And there's people I haven't seen since I left school, and I know that they're in Preston. It's just that
you don't
see
up,
no, no. Mm. And then obviously there's other people that have moved out of town, other people that have, you know, fortunately died. A couple of people that I went to school with have, you know, died in different circumstances.
When you were at school, back in the high school, were you given opportunities to take quite a varied selection, should I say, of choices for career opportunities?
Yeah, we sort of did the usual. In the first year, we had all the general, you know, science, which was just general science. Oh, is that a moth?
Was, very well. Sorry, I had to turn my mattress over and find one the other day.
I'm just wondering where it came from. We had, in the first year, we had, like, just science. It wasn't broken down into biology, physics, chemistry, anything like that. And then we had the normal English, maths, PE, religious education. But we did half an hour of reading. That was actually a lesson, was called reading. Mm-hmm. And it was about just sitting down and reading. And another half an hour lesson of chess.
Oh, right.
Which was quite unusual. Oh. That was in our first year of high school, which other schools didn't do that. It was half an hour of playing chess and learning how to play chess and being competitive and playing against somebody.
Right.
You know, they just, everybody split
perhaps
into twos.
It was a school sport.
I don't know, it was really strange. So, you know, they were the general. Then in the second year, we did sort of woodwork, metalwork. So girls and boys did woodwork, metalwork, home economics, needlework, and all the other, you know, maths, English, science. Mm-hmm. And then in the third year is when we got to choose our options. So we had there was chemistry, biology, physics, social studies, and then again all the others. But at Christ the King, well, at St John Fisher's, which is now Christ the King, they were the only school to do Spanish instead of German.
Right.
So every school did French, most schools did German, but we did Spanish. And then if you were in the top set in the third year, you could choose to do Spanish. If you were the top set for maths, English and other things, you could choose to do Spanish as an option, which I did. If you didn't do Spanish, you had to do social studies.
Right.
We did history, we did geography. Just the general. I mean, they're far more, they've got different names now, textiles and... We did computer studies. That was another one that... And it was about writing computer programs and doing diagrams. I mean, that's totally changed these days. It's 20 years since I left school, but I can't imagine how you would, do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. These days, computer studies, it's about the whole ICT thing, isn't it? Whereas this was about doing flowcharts and you know, press enter and another flow chart to something else.
Well, it was fairly new as a subject, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was.
Did you like it?
I did actually, because I took it as one of my options, yeah. Mm. One of my other options that I took, which was unusual, there's only two girls in the class, was, it's not called, design technology.
So the boys tended to take
IT
more than girls did.
Yeah, and also technical drawing.
Oh, right.
Is what they called it, which is like, I don't know, it's about sort of...
It's more like draftsmen's, isn't
it? Yeah, there was only me and another girl that did that, yeah. But I enjoyed it, that, transferring, and so I did technical drawing, yeah, which I thought was quite good. We did music, and... We actually did a lot of music at primary school because I played the violin and I played the guitar at primary school. Not very well,
but
you had the opportunity to play. Yeah, and at high school you had the opportunity of doing typewriting in like your lunch hour or something like that, which not a lot of schools did either. They didn't do sort of lunchtime activities, but I did typing, which was good. Sports wise, they did all sorts of sports in our games class. We did, you know, hockey, netball rounders, assault courses, cross country running, and then we always had sports days, athletics, high jump, long jump, so it was quite good.
It was quite varied.
Yeah. And there was also the opportunities that we had at school were good with regard to like trips out.
Right.
At primary school, we went to York for a day. Where else did we go? Edinburgh, I think. But when we got to high school, we stayed over at York for a couple of nights. I also went to France for about 7 days, and then I went skiing to Austria in the fifth year.
Right, so you've been about a bit.
Yeah, so, I mean, we were lucky because my mum and dad let us go, you know, and because there was two, I mean, some of my friends, there was 6 or 7 in their family, and they couldn't afford it. My mum and dad weren't, you know, they didn't have a lot of money, but...
No, but they managed.
They managed, yeah, and they gave us the opportunities that were presented to us, really, that, you know, it saved up for it and made sure that we had those opportunities, so that was really good.
So when it came to actually doing, choosing a career or doing the subjects for a career, did you manage to get the qualifications at school that would take you on to what you wanted to do?
Yeah, I couldn't really decide. I thought I wanted, when I was at school, I wanted to work to do something with languages. And that's what I wanted to do. Most of my time through school, I enjoyed all the languages, French and Spanish. So I took those as options. And then I wanted to go to Newman College, which is in the top of Frenchwood, and carry on with my languages, which I did. And I got... When I was at high school, I got all the O-levels, passed all them. And then when I went to college, Newman College, I took Spanish, French, and then I took English Lit and Language because I thought I maybe want to do something. I was interested in writing as well and doing things like that. So I took that and I got the A-levels. But then I sort of thought, I went and did some work experience at the Polytechnic actually. I did some work experience there and I really enjoyed it. And it was then when I did my work experience from high school in the last year that I thought, oh, I'm not sure I want to do something with languages now. I think I might want to do some sort of office or admin type role. And then I left college with my A-levels and decided that I'd try and get a job for a couple of years before I went to university and earned some money, which I did. And I've been there ever since because I've enjoyed it. So
where did you go to?
I went to the council,
yeah.
Lancashire County Council. And I think once I started earning money, I decided that's what I wanted to do. And, you know, so sometimes I think, well, I wish I'd have just gone to university. I wish I'd have, you know, but then I think, no, I'm glad that I did what I did. Mm. Yeah.
It was right for you.
Yeah,
obviously.
It was. Yeah. So, it was good. But
So have you been in the same job? Or have you swapped about it?
I've been in education since I started at Lancashire County Council. And I've worked with teachers' salaries, first of all, as like an admin person, and then I went to work in the Governor's Services team, setting up courses and conferences for school governors all around the county. Mm-hmm. And then I went into the Youth and Community Service and deal with extended schools and community use in schools. Which is like schools opening up the premises to the community, mm-hmm. and encouraging the schools to do that. And we're actually going through a review at the minute, so I am going to be moving on somewhere else, but I don't know where I'm going to end up at the minute. But the Youth and Community Service has always been part of my life, because since I was about 7, I went to the junior youth club in Frenchwood, St. Augustine's Junior mm-hmm. Youth Club. In Frenchwood, and again, it was absolutely brilliant. The youth club was wonderful. It belonged to the church. The youth workers, again, I know them to this day, and they've become good friends because I've known them since I was so young. It was a place where you could go, you could play pool, you could do art, drama. We put on plays, we put on shows for the community.
So you had all that background anyway, haven't you?
Yeah, and a lot of my friends went, and that was really, really good. And I went to the junior youth club there, and then I went to the senior youth club, and then I decided that I wanted to do some voluntary work, so I did voluntary youth work. And then I actually got a part-time youth work job and ended up doing youth work 3 nights a week from when I was about 22 to about 3 years ago. So I did it for about 22, how old would I be? Did it for about 12 or 13 years. Mm-hmm. So the Youth and Community Service has always been part of
it can
my
be very
life.
Rewarding, though, working with
I absolutely,
young people,
yeah.
Isn't it?
I only stopped a few years ago because I was quite poorly and I had to stop for a time. And then soon after that, I had Joel. I got pregnant and had Joel. So, and obviously, the nights I want to spend now with him. I don't want to be going out and doing youth work. But it is something that I'll always love. I mean, it gave me the opportunity when I was in junior school. We went camping to Borwick Hall and we went to Castlemaine. That was another thing that we did from school as well at high school. We went to Castlemaine for a week and those were opportunities that were given to us. So that was really good.
Was it an open youth club? By that I mean, was it, you know, it wasn't just for...
No, it was for anybody that wanted to come.
So
yeah.
It served all the community around
yeah.
there.
Yeah, yeah. And the youth club, it was... there was squash courts. There was the youth club. There was a big hall upstairs with a stage. There was another room that could be used for, like, a discussion room. There was a big room that could be used for a dance hall. There was an office, a shop, a little tuck shop. And they, that all backed on to the Presbytery grounds. Mm. Did you ever go?
No.
Oh,
no, it was, but I have walked around there.
It was, and it, yeah, and there was a club. There was a club where you, where the adults could the go adults, and drink.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like a working men's
it
club.
Well, Rosa mentioned that.
Oh, it was absolutely wonderful.
When
and
they,
it was
when they used to rehearse for
it was,
the plays that they put
yeah, on. Yeah, we had garden party. Parties there. We had fete days. We had days where people would be in the Presbytery Gardens and they'd have people chucking wet sponges at them. And it was great, actually. It was really, really... And it's such a shame that that's not there anymore. That facility is a big... And we, I was a senior youth club member when they said they were going to shut it. And we did everything we could to stop them shutting it down. But, you know, it didn't work, so...
There is a need, I think, too, for the young people to have somewhere to go. Because so many just don't want to do with themselves in the evenings, do they? Which is when you get them.
We had, the street. Yeah, it used to be on 3 nights a week. I think it was Monday, Wednesday, Friday. And we had opportunities to do, you know, we went out on trips, we went walking, we went camping, we went canoeing, we went rock climbing, potholing. I mean, that is something that I've done once and will never ever do again. Yeah. But I've had the opportunity to do it.
I won't go down potholes.
I was absolutely terrified the whole time I was down there, but I've done it. Mm. And I can say that I've done it and I won't do it again. But I wouldn't have had the opportunity if I'd not been with the youth club. Orienteering, you know, just going to the park in a big group and playing rounders, and that's what we used to do sometimes if it was sunny. The youth workers would say to us, right, come on, get your stuff, we're going down to play rounders. Well, you can't do that now, you've got to have risk assessments done and health and safety, and you can't just take a group a stone's throw away to the park. You've got to assess what you're going to do first and get parental consent, and it's just the world's gone mad, I think. But in those days, it was brilliant. I mean, we went on a skiing trip to Scotland for a week. That was fun. And then we went to Germany on a two-week exchange. Yeah. And stayed with German families.
I'm going in July.
Where are you going?
I'm going to a place called Delingsen.
Right, we went to Recklinghausen, because that's the twin town of Preston. Mm. It was absolutely wonderful. And all those opportunities I got through the youth service, and that's why I am grateful, and, you know, I felt that I wanted to put something back in. Mm. When I got too old to be a member, I wanted to go and, you know, help do it, and I loved it. And I think because I'd been to the youth club since I was 7, it was knowing how to like interact with people that were younger than me. Do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So it was really good. Yeah. Oh, it's nice talking about this because I've forgotten about it really. Yeah. Yeah.
It's hopefully just chatting away and you forget that's there.
Yeah.
And I can just.
But you do. I had. You know what I mean? Until you start thinking about it, you forget about all the nice things, you know. We had a costume room as well, which was at the youth club. It was a full room of costumes from different shows that we'd put on and different pantomimes. That obviously, when somebody had won, we kept it and props. And one of the lads used to make all the props, and it was just great. It really was. So, yeah.
So you're career choice actually was laid out for you, wasn't it? You know, you'd got the experience
amongst
all the youth people.
Yeah.
And going to Lancashire County Council, obviously.
Yeah.
And you're slotted into the right place.
Yeah.
Doing the right things.
So hopefully I'll still stay with Youth and Community Service in this restructuring, but I don't know what I'm going to be doing yet, so...
So what is it, the restructuring?
The Youth and Community Service and Connections, I don't know if you've heard of Connections, well, they used to be the Career Service.
Yes, that's right.
They actually were two separate bodies, and they've now joined together. So Connections and the Youth Community Service are now going to be the new Integrated Youth Support Service, which is a mouthful. But obviously there's a lot of people and there's not enough jobs, so they're actually restructuring. See, some people are going on early retirement, some people are taking voluntary redundancy, you know, so they're trying just to, they're going through that process at the minute. It's taken a long time, but...
Do you know just where you will be?
No.
No, not yet.
No. I've had an interview today, so...
I'll turn this off now.
Yeah.